want to sit us out or not yet?
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
About 40 minutes in your official title.
That's fine. We're starting 40 minutes late. This is probably late. I don't need to start.
No. Okay. Look up when you're ready. Girls, look up when you're ready. Okay, it is a very special privilege for us to have Rabbi Griesauer, who has spent many summers on Kol El and is with MCSY Kol El this summer. You got cheers for MCSY Kol El, Mechlala. We're getting stronger and stronger with each time. Okay, they're a little shy of Rabbi Benovitz. They're getting there. Rabbi Griesauer has been a teacher and department head at Katz Yeshiva High School in Florida. Where's Leora? You get one chair there, right? And the Florida we get more chairs from. And is Bezrat Hashem this year going to be the director of D-School Engagement in NCSY, working to bring NCSY and inspiration to the D-Schools and to the yeshivas in the Tri-Borough State area. So it is a very special privilege. I told them a little about you this morning, so it's a very special privilege to have Rabbi Griesauer share some thoughts and inspiration with us. The microphone works a little
bit. I'm going to try and not use the mic. If those in the back, can you hear me back there? No? You don't hear me? No? Okay, I'll use the mic. Can you hear me now? Okay. Okay, I will use the mic. Before I start, I hope you hear this a lot when people start, but it's really inspirational to walk in and see so many girls coming together to spend their summer learning. To be honest, when I walked in, first of all, I didn't know I was getting a CM, so that was a great treat. I didn't know I was walking into a dinner CM, but I also, I really didn't know how many girls were on the Mechlelet, and I was awed and impressed and really inspired by how many of you came to spend your summer the way you are, learning in Eretz Yisrael. Is really a beautiful thing. So I'm going to start for a minute or two. It's not going to be the focus of our talk, but you'll see why it's integral to our talk. I'm going to start for a minute or two with my own story, because it impacts the way that I view the world, and it's really changed the way that I view Chesed in many ways, and it really leads to the title of the session. I call it a session that we're going to have together tonight, not really a speech. Hopefully we'll engage and we'll interact. And the goal is to come out and have a better understanding of how to really help people, which is why I titled this session, How to Be a Good Friend When It Matters Most. How can we help people, not just in extreme circumstances when it matters most, but when things get difficult, when things are harder, how can we be a good friend? So my story is about 9 years ago now, when my oldest son was born, soon after, unfortunately, my wife got diagnosed with a brain tumor. What's unique about our story, amongst many things that are unique, was that my wife was adamant on keeping it a secret. So for 8 years or so, she was going through treatments and dealing with many different hardships without anybody knowing except for our immediate family. Everyone else had no clue. And then, unfortunately, it got worse and people found out. And this past October, she passed away. And throughout the time, specifically over the last year and a half or so, I've been blessed, I will say, with the chesed of the Jewish community. I've said this for many years, well before my wife was diagnosed. What's always been spoken to me about the Jewish people is the way that we come together in times of crisis, the way that we unite and help each other when people are having a hard time. And I really was overwhelmed by the amount of people that wanted to help and do different things, again, acts of kindness in many different ways, and I'm not here to outline all of them right now, but really a beautiful thing. But where we struggle a lot, and my goal is not to highlight people's shortcomings, my goal is to be constructive and help people. Where we struggle, though, is how to interact with people. It's very hard. It's very awkward. It's awkward for the person who's dealing with the tragedy. It's awkward for the person who is approaching the person dealing with the tragedy. You know, there's an author, C.S. Lewis, he writes in his book, he lost his wife as well, and he writes in his book, I'm upset if you talk to me and I'm upset if you don't talk to me. Meaning there's really, it's often a lose-lose. If you approach me and you start talking to me, so I don't really enjoy the conversation. If you ignore me, you don't talk to me, I'm like, why are they ignoring me? I'm still a person. It's very challenging. But the truth is, and we're going to talk about tonight a little bit lighter than just the extreme, there are many circumstances where we're put in situations where we can choose how to act. We can be proactive, we can be thoughtful in how we do our best. I want to start with a dvar Torah. I heard a few moans at a sore sheet. I get that. It's late at night, a sore sheet. What are we doing now? You know, we've been through a whole day already. But I want to share with you one idea, which I think is an incredible idea about chesed. Most of us in the room are probably familiar with the story of how Eliezer, Avram's slave, went out to find a wife for Avram's son, Yitzchak. And the story goes that he went and he said to Hashem, Hashem, do me a favor. How am I going to choose the perfect wife for Yitzchak? So do me a favor, God. That's what the pasuk says. He davens to Hashem, and he says, the girl who offers me water, that's the one who I know is the right one. Because she's a Baal HaSesed. She's someone who's kind. She's someone who does the right thing. The Beis Halevi, the original of Yosef Dov Halevi Salvechik, really the father of the Salvechik dynasty, says an incredible idea on the Pesukim, though. And if you look at the Pesukim, he says the following. It wasn't just that he was looking for someone who was kind. He was looking for someone who was going to be smart in their kindness. Now, why is that? So if you look in the Pesukim, in Pasuk Yadalin, it says, Vahaya hana'ara asher amari leha hatina kadech ve'eshteh. The girl who I tell her, give me your jug and let me drink. Now, what's the nuance in that? So says the Beis Halevi, well, it is a little nuanced because, I don't know, some random stranger walks up to you at a well and says, can I get a drink from your jug? So imagine for a second, you're at iJump tonight, and some random Israeli comes over to you and says, nu, teni lishtot, right? Give me a drink. So again, I can't speak for you guys. I'm not even a Jermy, but that would be a little gross. I'd probably be like, I'm not sure, you have a cup, right? I don't know how we can deal with this. I'm not sure that I want to really share my cup with you. Imagine, if you can, the scene at a well. Some random slave with a bunch of camels says, can I get a drink from your jug? So says the Beis Halevi, he actually wanted to see Eliezer. Well, what's she going to do? Is she going to give me from her actual jug and then take that home to her family after some random guy drank from it? What's she going to do? And the passage continues. V'gam gemaleich eshkeh. Oh, and also, I want you to feed my camels, right? So maybe there's a few of you in this room who are so sweet and love the Jewish people so much that you would let the random Israeli guy or girl in iJumps and I take a sip of your water. But I can't imagine there's a person in this room is going to let the camels drink from that same thing of water and then bring that home to your family. And imagine, this is a big, big thing of water, right? So what's going on over here? So says the Beis Halevi, he wanted to figure out, how is she going to approach the situation? What's she going to do? Is she going to say, no, I won't give you water? That's not nice. But what's she going to do? I don't have a cup. And the Beis Halevi says, there was a wisdom in the kindness. How are you going to do the act of kindness? And if you look ahead to Pasuk Yud Ches, Vatomer, what does Rivka do? She says, Shisei Adoni, my master, I want you to drink from it. Vatameher Vator Kada Yadav Atashkei. She says, drink from my water, right? Okay, now what? He drank. Let's assume he didn't finish the entire thing of water. So she waited for him. Batachal hashkoso. She finished letting him drink. And what does she say? Batomer gamlik amalech eshav. She doesn't just say, I'll give your camels water. I'll draw more water for your camels, right? You want to keep drinking from this one, I'll get more for your camels. I'm not necessarily going to bring this home. Figuring out, I'm not going to pour out the water. Once you're done, I'll give it to the camels. She was figuring out how to navigate it in a way that was not just going to be a chesed, but a smart chesed. And what I want to talk to you now for the time that we have is how to do smart chesed. And I said it before, and I'm going to say it now, it's a session. It's not a class. I'll guide the session. But the only way we're going to learn this thing tonight is if we engage. So I need all of you in this room to engage with me. Because it's a very large room, it's going to be a little bit challenging. But we're going to do it together. We're going to engage, okay? So we're going to read the first scenario first. Because I have a microphone and a wire, this can be a little bit fun. Can I get a volunteer closer to the front to read the first scenario? Okay, what's your name?
Lily.
Thank you, Lily. Lily's going to read for us scenario number one, and then I'll give you a little quick activity to answer the question. So, here we go.
Your friend isn't acting all this way. She has been distant and hard to talk to. She's clearly not acting like herself, but you have no clue what's going on. After a few days of this behavior, she is missing from my wallet. We find out she has checked into my hotel for a few days of personal vacation. What would you do?
We're all English speakers, right? Okay. Here's what we're going to do. It's a large room. Okay? It's a large room. Here's what we're going to do. It's very simple because there are numbers. Okay? Don't do it yet. Hold your hands for a second. If you would call, you're going to put up one finger. If you would text, you're going to put up two fingers. If you would visit, you're going to put up three fingers. And if you would respect her privacy and not reach out at all, you're going to put out four fingers. Now, don't do it yet. I'm going to count to three, and everyone in the room to put up, again, one finger for call, two for text, three for visit, and four for respect or privacy, okay? Here we go. We all ready? We got some. Okay. One, two, three, go. Hold your hands up. Okay, we got, I would say, a lot of calls. I think actually a lot of texts. A few threes. Any fours? That's a four? No, I want to see all of them. Okay. It looks like one and two are the most popular. So if you're one and two, keep your hand down. If you're three or four, keep your hand up. Where are my threes? I had a few threes. Okay, here we go. What's your name? Rivka. And this mic thing moving is great. Okay. Rivka, you ready? One second. Can you unravel that for me, Neshama? Thank you.
I love it. Okay, here we go. Rivka, right? Rivka, why would you choose number three?
Because if I call her, it affects a little bit in her world. But she's going to probably need at least one person to go.
Okay, awesome. More personal,
it shows you care a lot more than if you text or call. I would agree with Rivka.
Who is number three over here? You gotta keep your hand up if you want to answer anymore. What's your name? Shalmeet? What would you say, Shalmeet? Why do you say three?
You would want someone to come from you. You'd be all alone. Why is no one visiting me? I'm all by myself at the inbound. I don't have a friend. Okay, excellent, Shalmeet. Now, for all the ones and twos out there, we'll get back to your fours. Why did you not say three? I think they gave pretty good, Rivka and Shalmeet gave pretty good cause. Almost no one put up threes. So let's get some explanation why not. I thought that was very, very insightful. What's your name? Yes.
Tova.
What do you think?
I check out
the
wallet for three,
at least,
I obviously
don't want to
see
the ball. Right? Excellent. Tova and Shalmeet are highlighting point number one for the night is what makes Chesed so complicated is that Tova and Shalmeet are different people and every single person in this room is different. And quite frankly, you probably want what you would do to others what you would want yourself. So Shalmeet is saying, right? Yeah, I checked out for a few days. Listen, I don't want you to visit me. It means that I had enough of the program. Maybe I'm dealing with something, right? Whatever's going on, listen, I don't want friends. And Tova's saying, no, I left, but I don't want to see any of you guys for a few days. Leave me alone, right? not a joke. It's real. We're all different.
How can you know what a person's going to want? And so, honestly, it's very hard. Point number one, it's very hard to know. And one of the things we're going to talk about tonight is there's not one right answer. I hope you weren't thinking I'm going to give you the panacea for how to interact in every situation. I tell people all the time, because this is not the first time I'm giving this talk, I struggle with it. There are people who are trying to help, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. I've reached out a few times. They're not answering me. Do they want me to talk? Do they not want me to talk? Do they want me to come? It is hard. So Tova and Shlomit are highlighting something very important. Tova wouldn't come. Why else wouldn't you go? Anyone else? Why else wouldn't you go? Yeah, what's your name?
Malta. You don't know what's happening. And, like, I feel like if you just show up unannounced, it technically might make things better if they're like, oh, you're going to come. But it also just might make things a lot worse if you're stressed out if they don't know what's happening. So, like, call up and I'm going to come. Like, I call first and then maybe go. But, like,
you're saying you're fine with the visit as long as you text first. Not everyone can hear you probably, right? Especially in the back there. So you say you maybe text first and then go visit, but not just show up. That's a little bit too much. Okay, let's go to our fours for a second. Where are our fours? Our fours. Yeah. Okay, excellent. I would tell you, I apologize with all due respect to both Leora and, I forgot your name already, Tova? No. Shira? Okay. So I would tell you my personal feeling based on having dealt with difficult situations and, I would even tell you, being someone who wants to be left alone, I am someone who wants to be left alone. My personal feeling based on my own experience is always reach out. Always. Now, how you reach out is an interesting question. How you reach out is not a universal answer, but the one thing I would say is always reach out. A text that says, notice you haven't been here in a few days, just wanted to say hi, is never going to be offensive. It can't be offensive. I noticed you haven't been here for a few days, just wanted to say hi. That's not intrusive, that's not invasive. You're not asking for information, you're just saying, I noticed you haven't been here in a while, just saying hi. Now, I would say very likely, Shira and Leora's point, that person may ignore you, because as they said, there's a reason why she left. But that doesn't mean she doesn't care. One of the things that I can tell you from my own life, and from my own experience, something that I have changed my behavior based on this, someone not responding doesn't mean they don't care. I didn't respond to many, many people who reached out to me. Honestly, in a beautiful way, there were so many people that reached out, it was almost too hard. But even when I didn't want to respond, I never didn't appreciate it that they reached out. I always, always appreciate that someone reached out, and you're much more likely to offend if you don't reach out. I always say this, and I mean it, better to say the wrong thing than say nothing at all. That's my advice. Better to say the wrong thing than say nothing at all. Now, better not to say the wrong thing. We'll talk about that tonight. But if you're going to do something, better to reach out. Now, this scenario, I want to have time to deal with the next one as well, and maybe get to the last one. This scenario is extremely tricky. Why is this scenario extremely tricky? Help me out here. Thank you. What did you say? It's unknown. I have no clue what's going on. Maybe, no laughter, no jokes. Maybe she had like a rash on her, like she's embarrassed about it. She'll be fine in 3 days. She just needs us. She wants to wait. She's embarrassed by her rash. And she wants to go back and she's totally fine. Maybe, you know, she's having trouble with her roommate and she wants to have 2 days break and she's back and fine. Maybe it's something more serious. You have no clue what's going on, which makes it very difficult. Now, a number of you, we'll return to our ones and twos for a second, said we call and we text. Why call versus text, or why text versus call? Let's get our ones and twos now, which was most of the room. All the way in the back. Yeah, what's your name?
Molly.
Molly. So texting gives them their space while showing you care. Is that a fair way of saying what you're saying, Molly? Okay, what about our callers? Why would you call them? Molly makes a good point. I like Molly's point. Yeah, what's your name?
Shoshana.
It's more personal to call than to text, right? Sometimes it's more personal to call. Would we agree that it's more personal to call? Anyone disagree with that? Okay, I think we all agree with that. It's more personal, right? Is there a right or a wrong? I don't think there's a right or a wrong. I think they're both right. They're both right to my scenario. How close are you with this person? Is this person your best friend? Did you meet them this summer? Are they your roommate? Are they someone you've spoken to once? So I will tell you, I want to repeat, and I mean this seriously. If you had met this person once, or you had spoken to them one time but noticed they were missing, in my opinion, again, it's just an opinion, if you text them, that's the nicest thing you could do. You met the person once. Hey, hey, David, I noticed you've been gone for a few days. You know, I know we haven't really been that close, but just wanted to reach out and say hi. There's nothing offensive about that. It's the nicest thing in the world. Someone who you barely know cares enough to see that you're missing and to reach out to you. One of the biggest things when people are dealing with hard times vary in many shapes and forms, is there's a feeling of isolation. They feel alone. So this person who's been missing for a few days, while they want to be with you, they want to be alone, that's why they left, they may also feel isolated and feel alone, even though they want to be alone, right? It's very self-fulfilling, the fact they want to be alone, but they still feel isolated. So reach out. There's nothing wrong with reaching out. Now, how do you reach out? What do you say? What do you do? So we're going to move on to scenario number two, which is much easier in the sense that I think it's a little benign. And we're going to try and do something a little bit dangerous, but we're going to try it anyways. We're going to try and ask two volunteers to do a role play for scenario number two. Now, I know that that's a little bit dangerous for many reasons. It's a big room. I might embarrass you and comment on what you say, as we all might. And it might be hard to hear you, but we're going to try it anyways, because I think role play is very powerful. So can I get two brave volunteers to come up to the front and do some role play on scenario number two? We're not going to select other people for them. Then I'm just going to choose you. Okay, with the red hair, you can come up, and we'll get one more. The Shama, you're sitting here ready. We'll choose you, and you help me with the microphone. Come, okay.
Here we go.
Okay, Neshama and?
Kyle,
okay. Scenario number two. Just to understand what the scenario is, and then I will pass the phone over to Neshama and Kyle. Your best friend. It's important to note, by the way, for this scenario, it's your best friend. This is your best friend. Your best friend has been talking about getting into Yeshiva University Honors Program for 3 years of high school. She has done extracurriculars, worked very hard in school, and did well in the SATs. She has just found out that she has been rejected from YU Honors. What do you say? So we're going to do the role play. Here's how this is going to work, okay? Chaya, unfortunately you just got rejected from YU Honors. You're going to let the Shama know the news. We're going to observe you, okay? Until I tell you to pause, we're going to observe your conversation. Try your best to act like you're really in the scenario for both of you. And we're going to try and be respectful and quiet. And I also will say, they're very brave for volunteering to come up. So we'll be, obviously, no matter what they say. No matter what they say, even if we may think we would do it differently, and we'll do that, we're going to respect them and listen to them, and then we'll see, again, if there are those in the audience who maybe think they would act a little differently. So let's begin.
Start from the beginning.
Just no, talk to them, not this narrow. Don't read it.
I didn't get into YU
Now is a question that seems very practical, right? It seems very practical. What should I do now? I just got rejected from YU Honors, and Chaya has been working for this now for 3 years, and she just got rejected, and she asked, what should I do now? This has been 3 years. And I actually think it's remarkable when Neshama responded, because Neshama didn't say anything about not getting to YU Honors. What did Neshama say? Do you want a hug? Right? Now, why is that a remarkable response? Seriously, let's analyze it for a second. Why is that a remarkable response? Yeah?
Because she never responded with an answer to the question. She responded with an action instead. So it's more like you don't know what to say. So you can't try to put words on something that you don't.
Even more than that. You're right. But even more than that.
Chaya didn't want an answer.
Excellent. Chaya didn't want an answer. I guarantee you Chaya didn't want an answer. And quite frankly, Neshama has... As smart as Neshama is, she's a very smart girl. I met her at dinner. She's very, very smart. Neshama couldn't give her an answer. Neshama doesn't know what she should do right now. And honestly, it's a very wrong situation for Chaya. She's been working to get into YU Honors for 3 years. That is inherently annoying, bad, upsetting. There was no advice that she can give in this moment that's going to be helpful. Okay, let's continue the conversation. Keep going. Yes. Consent on the hug. I agree with that as well. Thank you. You're welcome to pipe up with any insights from the back. Consent on the hug. Don't just jump on her with the hug. Wait for consent. We're gonna continue the conversation for a minute, okay? I apologize. I know I interrupted it. Let's get quiet again. I had to jump in because I thought that was such a brilliant response by Neshama. I needed to jump in. But let's continue the conversation, okay?
I feel like I wasted my whole high school.
I feel like you wasted your whole high school.
Yeah, I'm a sword, and all I wanted to do was go to my game, but now Bobby must come.
You're really having a lot of trouble with the fact that you're going to accept the teacher. It's really hard to get them.
No, I really wanted to go to like a Jewish from college.
Interactive. My main goal tonight, I want to repeat from the beginning, is there's no one right answer. My main goal tonight is that we walk out with one thing. Before we try and help someone, we think and we try and process what is the best way that I can help this person in this situation. Idea number one. Idea number two that I want you to take out from tonight is that you should always do something. Don't ignore people. Don't leave people alone. Technology, in this regard, is the biggest blessing. I say it all the time. I forgot your name in the back row. Molly. Molly said it before. Texting is so non-intrusive. A person can read it when they want. It's so easy for you to send it. And it's not making them be on the spot and have an uncomfortable conversation. There are many times where you don't want to have an uncomfortable conversation, especially if this is an amazing program of 174 girls, I believe. 174 girls. There's no way that everyone here is best friends. It's just not possible. I'm sure we're unified in a way that we feel like one program, but there's no way that every single girl here is best friends with every girl. And in some situations, you're going to be the prime source of comfort, and in some situations, you'll be an outsider. But I will say this. It's not going to happen, but I will say this. If you walked out today, and in situations where you knew someone was dealing with something, and the something could be, as I will call it, benign. It's serious, but as benign as not getting into the college of your choice. If your friend did not get into the college of their choice when they are a senior, or they didn't get into the honors program, just to clarify, it wasn't YU. They could have still gone to YU. But they didn't get into the program of their choice. If you text them and say, I heard you didn't get in, I'm so sorry, I know you've been working really hard for that, period, I've accomplished my goal. If you know someone who's been missing from school for a week, and you text them and say, as simple as, I noticed you haven't been in school, just wanted to say hi. It doesn't matter if it's your best friend or a girl that you've spoken to once, or quite frankly, a girl you've never spoken to. She's a girl in your class, so you know her name because they read the attendance sheet. And you even write, I know you've never spoken before, but I've noticed that you've been missing from class. I just wanted to say hi. You should not be, let me say this clearly, you should not be intrusive. If they're not a close friend, you should not ask questions. Even if they are a close friend, you should read the situation carefully. As Tova, we'll come back to Tova again. Tova said correctly, often people are avoiding you because they don't want to talk to you. But that doesn't mean they don't want you to reach out. So you can find a way to do it in a sensitive way without being intrusive, but being caring. We're going to move to scenario number three. Scenario number three is certainly the most intense of the three. And we're going to try, if we can, for the last few minutes or so, have a conversation on number three. And I do know that it's a little bit of a hard one, but we're going to try our best. You don't have to literally write a text. We're going to try and have a little bit of a conversation on number three. So scenario number three, I'll read it. You just found out that your friend's mother has been diagnosed with cancer. You want to reach out to let her know that you care. Please compose a text message that you would send to your friend. A lot of silence. Now, I know this is a serious situation, and again, it's hypothetical, but it's still serious. Let's try. Do we have any volunteers? What would you write? What do you write to that person in that situation? How do you reach out? What do you say? We've established we're going to reach out. It's good to reach out. So what are we going to write? What are we going to say to this person? Yes. What's your name?
Rivka.
Rivka.
I can't make the whole text, but you could maybe even ask, like, is there any, like, I don't know how to, like, pick up the parts of, like, I could draw a name or something, but I don't know.
Okay. Talk about davening for the person. We'll talk about that in a minute. I'll respond to that. I have some thoughts on the davening for the person. Yes, what's your name? Is there anything you can do for her?
No.
I'm asking. Okay, so
I think I lessen a lot of people who are in similar situations. I think I lessen them. Many people don't like me. If there's something I can do for you, right, let me know. Why do people not like if there's something you can do for me, let me know? Okay, two reasons. One, I heard from you murmurs, and they're both correct. One is, and that's it. But I do want to highlight it. Number one is it's often very trite. I remember getting emails. It's not even a joke. I was laughing at them. I laughed out loud and sent it to family members. Like people who like live like in other states. And were like, I didn't have to do for you. So I just reached out to me and let me know. I'm like, yes. So I'm going to email you in Michigan. That wasn't one of the states. I'm going to email you in Michigan and tell you that I really need help buying groceries. Do you mind just like calling supermarket here and like maybe they send me, like, what are you gonna do for me? We haven't spoken in 4 years. Like, if there's anything I could do for you, let me know. It's a little bit trite, and I will even say it's like, what? Like, it doesn't. Number two is the person will never reach out to you and let you know because I'm not gonna wanna reach out to you to have you do chesed. If you wanna do chesed for me, great, come help me. I'm very unlikely, if not going to, reach out to you. Now, it's a very common phrase. Are there ways that we can replace it or say something different? It's the first time you spoke to this person, first reaching out to this person. Do we have to say anything? Right, what else can we say? And I apologize. I apologize. You're great for speaking up. And I'm done looking to speak up. What else can we say? Yes, what's your name? Zahava. Okay, in your first text, I'm just asking you, what do you think they could need? What do they need? You just found out that their mother said, what could they need? Offer to what? Make them dinner. Okay. You can offer to make them dinner. Again, let's put ourselves in the situation for a second, and I know I'm pushing back a little bit, but you just found out about this incident. This is your first time reaching out. And again, there's not one right answer per se. What would you say? Yeah. Yes, you. What's your name?
Ayala.
Ayala.
So my mom
harshly. Sometimes it's very hard because there's nothing that you can say to me that's really going to make me feel better, right? If I'm dealing with a situation that's very difficult. What are you going to say that's going to make the situation better? My wife, Alaa Shalom, said this literally day and night. This is her phrase that she used to say. We'd say, like, you want to talk to someone? And she would say, unless that person's time, I'm going to be healthy. I don't care what they have to say. She'd say it all the time. Now, it's a little extreme, but it's true. What are you going to say unless you're going to tell me you know for a fact that I'm going to be fine, right? What are you going to say that's really going to provide comfort? So I'm here for you, right? Is a little bit different than whatever you need, right? It's a little bit different. I'm here for you. I'm thinking about you, right? I'm gonna daven for your mother. I'm gonna daven for right whoever is sick. What else can we say? Yes. Excellent. What's your name?
Ariella,
which gets back to, I don't remember, hold on. What's your name? Zahava? Zahava's point, right? What are the real things that you can do? So, says Ariella, sorry, a lot of names flying around here. Says Ariella, right? I gave her notes, I got her notes, right? I could pick up lunch, which is something Zahava said, or I could do practical things, right? I can be there for her. I will say, I will say, to speak to Ariella's point, which I see personally on this as well, it's also nice to have someone who's willing to be there for you to listen, right? Just sometimes you want to vent. You just want to talk. I don't really care what you have to say, but I do want to get things off my chest because, like, I have a lot stored up in me, right? And my good friend, maybe I just want to have them, right? Maybe I want to have them as someone, if you, right? If you want to talk, I'm here to talk. If you don't want to talk, you don't have to, right? You can phrase it very clearly, giving them the option to not engage it, right? You're giving them the option to engage. You're giving them the option not to engage. As I said in the beginning, with Tova and Shlomit highlighting it perfectly, really highlighting it perfectly, no two people are the same. And there are some people who will want to talk for hours and chew your ear off about everything that's details, whether it be their fears, whether it be whatever is going on. And there's some people who just want to be left alone. They don't care. They're fine, you know, thinking about it themselves, not dealing with it. So how do I know what kind of person you are? Seriously, how do I know? How do I know someone in this situation? How does a person know what to do? So the only advice that I can give you is reach out. I said it before, and I'll say it again. Reach out. Say, I'm here for you if you want to talk. I'm here for you if you don't want to talk. Do the practical things. I have and I really said 100% do the practical things. But say, I'm here for you, and check in, and see how they're doing. Since I've dealt with my own situation, there are a few people that I know are dealing with difficult situations, and I send them texts more than once a week, that just says the following. Just checking in. That's what I write. Just checking in. Now, I will tell you, half the time they don't respond to it. I just write, just checking in. If they don't respond, it means they appreciate that I'm checking in, but they don't really care to talk to me. And sometimes they will respond. You give them the option. You're there for them in a way that you can be. I said it before, I apologize for being myself, but it's important. Technology makes this very easy. So we talked about showing up on people's doorstep. There are times where we should show up on people's doorstep. I shared this story, I think I shared it in Afrikawa. I shared this story. One of my best friends said to me about another one of my best friends, and I was dealing with this very difficult situation. He said to me, and again, none of you will know the characters involved, but I'll still make up names regardless. We'll go with David again. And he said, David said he's really not sure if he should visit you. He was thinking about just driving over and saying hi. What do you think he should do? That's what he said to me. So again, first of all, don't put the people in the difficult situation in a situation to choose. But I responded as follows, and I think it was very sharp. I said, if David really wanted to visit me, he would have just shown up at my door. I said, David's hesitation, right? I don't want him to come visit. I said, if he really wanted to show up, he would have showed up. So before, Rivka, that's good. I remember your name from the beginning. That's pretty good. Rivka and Shlomit said, the first situation, the girl's missing, they would show up at the door. I embrace it fully as the right decision. If that's what you think is right, show up at the door. They may not open the door. They may say, thanks for coming, I don't want to talk. They will 100% appreciate your gesture. There's nothing that you can do that they won't appreciate. As long as you reach out and you're willing to let them guide the ship. Let the person in the situation guide it. So I want to close with what I started, and I'm going to end. I hope this wasn't too heavy, first of all. I hope this wasn't too heavy. And I also apologize right now. I hate having to run out after I finish speaking, but I have to run out after I finish speaking. So if anyone would have a follow-up question or would want to talk about this more one-on-one, if in any way, meaning you're dealing with a friend who's dealing with something, or you just want to have a question, I really do apologize. I literally need to run out when I finish. But please get my information, contact information, and please get in touch with me. I'm happy to be in touch. It's not uncommon that it happens, so if you want to reach out, please do. I'm going to have to run out. But I want to close with the following. We start by thinking of the Dvar Torah from the Beis Halevi, and I hope over discussing this, thinking about it, sharing some ideas, we can be more thoughtful in our festa. We all want to do the right thing. There's nobody in this room, there's nobody in this world that wants to do the wrong thing. There's nobody who doesn't want to be there for their friends when they're dealing with difficult situations. There's nobody. I really don't believe it. There is nobody who doesn't want to be a good friend. So hopefully, discussing these things, we can be a little more thoughtful on how to be there for people, to reach out to people, to have people in mind, to check in numerous times, many times. Not wait for their response, but keep checking in on people. Just say, I'm thinking of you, I'm here for you. Do the practical things, and show people that you care. Because I will end with this. What people do want is they want to know that people care. And that's why I said, better to say the wrong thing than say nothing at all. Because I believe that when you reach out and you're trying to say something, at least you're showing that you care. When you ignore someone, even with the best of intentions, and I don't want to say anyone, I said it just now and I meant it. Everyone wants to do the right thing. The person who doesn't reach out thinks they're doing the right thing also. They want privacy. They don't want me to talk to them. But the more that we can show them, you can't show someone you care by ignoring them. You can show someone you care by reaching out in whatever way, shape, or form that you think is appropriate. And hopefully, we can all help each other in all situations, whatever the struggle is that we're dealing with. I hope you gained from this session. I hope you learned something. It's really been a pleasure, and I really do apologize that I need to run out. But it's been a pleasure seeing you guys. Have a great summer, and enjoy ICOM.
Red phone!